This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Covering a lot of different things around the Umpqua Valley. And, of course, as we are beginning to wrap up or get close to the end of August, people are looking more at the election cycle. Of course, not just on the national level with what's going on this week, but also around Douglas County locally and statewide as well. So we've got some candidate interviews coming up. And Alex Carlatos with us, running for state representative in the 4th District. Alex, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me, Kyle. I appreciate it.
So your background is pretty well known, and when you reflect back on the last 8 or 9 years, you've certainly had what could be described as an interesting and an eventful life.
Yeah, you could say that again. obviously, I've been pretty lucky with a lot of the opportunities that surviving the terrorist attack kind of afforded me. But I mean, to be honest, I'm just kind of sick and tired with where our state is heading. And I really wanted to do something about it. That's why I got involved in politics to begin with. And ever since getting involved in politics about what, 6 years ago now, I think we're headed in the wrong direction, even more so than I did when I first got in. And being a little bit more in tune with what's going on the federal level is absolutely sickening.
You have continued to seek office. What is it about holding public office that really interests you?
Just being able to do something specifically for the people of Douglas County, just because, you know, that's where I live and those are the people that I see every day. But on a greater level, you know, the state of Oregon, it seems like we've been going downhill for about the last 20 or 30 years, and we've had one party leadership in the state of Oregon for about 20 or 30 years. And I always tell people, if you're not happy with where your state is, with where your county is, with where your country is, I mean, the best thing you can do is vote for the other party that's not in power, whether that's Republican, Democrat, Independent, it doesn't matter. The people in office, the only thing that they're really afraid of at the end of the day is losing power. And if their power is threatened and they feel like they have to appeal to the other side and moderate their positions, they will do it. And unfortunately, they haven't had to do that in Oregon for about 20, 30 years. And so we've just kind of been on this glide path downhill economically, especially with the homelessness and the drug problems. I'm really grateful that we haven't gone as far as, you know, Washington State and California have on a lot of these policies, especially Second Amendment issues, which are really close to my heart. But that's why I want to be in the state level. And that's why I've been working on politics for quite some time, is I just want to preserve the few rights that we have left and hopefully expand some.
What have you learned from the other races you've been in that you think will help you in this one?
Just how nasty of a business politics is. You know, I've learned quite a bit about who the movers and shakers are politically in the state of Oregon and Douglas County and even federally. So just kind of knowing what you can and can't actually accomplish, setting realistic goals, and just, again, the networking of, you know, who can actually help me when I get to the state level so that we can actually at least slow down what the Democrats are doing. First step, of course, my seat is pretty safe. I should get elected in November. So I'm focusing on getting to know, you know, all the people that I need to know on the state level and seeing what we can't actually accomplish. But again, the first step is just making sure the Democrats don't get a supermajority back so that we can actually stop at least some of the worst of the bills.
Yeah, and I know I read something a few days ago that some of the political forecasters think that might actually happen gains for the Democrats in this fall cycle.
Well, unfortunately, the Republicans have kind of a bad map on the Senate side, especially since they got that ballot measure passed that if Republicans walk, they can't run for re-election, which, of course, you know, is meant to stop the Republican Party from using the only option they have left, in stopping some of these terrible Democrat bills. So that also gives them advantage on the electoral map that they also drew, so that, you know, some of our incumbent state senators in particular aren't able to run for re-election. So now they're running against a brand new Republican who doesn't have the incumbency advantage because of the laws that they passed. So it's really, unfortunately, a really unfair system.
Talk about the 4th District, what you've learned since you moved south a ways back.
Honestly, it's pretty similar to Douglas County. It's southern Douglas County, rural Josephine County, basically the rural I-5 corridor all the way down to Central Point. So a lot of the same issues that I've been, you know, educating myself on in Douglas County the last few years. You know, just rural jobs, funding for infrastructure, and those are things that I'm definitely going to champion when I get to the state level.
How much time have you had to spend in the Grants Pass area, and talk about any connections you made down there?
I've actually spent a lot of time in the, Josephine County area. Technically, my district isn't Grants Pass, but I've got a lot of great friends down there. The new state rep, Dwayne Yunker, is a good guy. I'm pretty close with Noah Robinson. Obviously, I knew his father pretty well since he ran for Congress before me. I'm trying to make some more inroads, specifically in the section of Jackson County that's in the district, because I don't have a lot of connections there. But I know the Republican chairwoman of Josephine County pretty well, Holly Morton. She's great. If you know anyone in Jackson County that would like to talk to me and educate me on Jackson County issues, I'd feel free to have them reach out.
Yeah, I know that the district boundaries are rather interesting because you start around the Myrtle Creek area and then head way down south, but it's not exactly, not as clear a district. It kind of meanders around a lot.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, when the Democrats get to draw the map, you don't get a lot of say into how the district looks. So it is very random. Obviously, they have to break it up evenly by population, so I don't blame them for that. It's like I said, it's pretty much the rural I-5 corridor. It's pretty much just south of Winston on the west side of I-5, all the way down to Central Point, just outskirts of Jacksonville. So, you know, all the rural towns, Canyonville, Rogue River, Gold Hill, Merlin, all of those places, just not Grants Pass proper, just not Winston proper, and it stops short of course, Medford.
Now, have you had the opportunity to observe the legislature in session?
I really have not. I've been talking, because I haven't been in session for a while, but I've been talking with a lot of, my friends that are state reps and state senators to kind of get apprised of the issues that are going to be facing us in the new long session. I'm actually headed up to Salem, I think about a week and a half to do a lot of meetings up there and start strategizing so that I can hit the ground running.
Yeah, if you're elected, are there particular committee assignments that you would hope for?
Anything relating to agriculture or timber, I'm going to shoot for. I mean, it was kind of the same when I ran for Congress, but those are the issues that are close to my heart, being in such a rural area. So those are the ones I'm going to shoot for.
And what do you feel like your priorities would be if you're elected?
Again, we might be in the super minority. We're definitely still going to be in the minority. So grand scheme is just to kind of stop the Democrats from walking all over the Republicans in the House and standing up for Douglas County, Josephine County, and Jackson County. So it's unfortunately going to be a lot of defense. I am going to have to work on finding some money for the district as well. So I will have to probably work with the Democrats in some capacity on that. But the number one priority is just going to be slow in their role.
As you take a look at kind of state government in general, what are some of the priority shifts that you would like to see? And do Republicans have a shot at putting any of those in place?
I'm not sure how much the Republicans are going to get done. Obviously, we're going to need to wait to see how many seats we actually win or don't win in this next cycle. So I encourage everyone to get out and vote. Long term, I would like to see the state of Oregon become more pro-business. I mean, I've known so many businesses that have left Oregon or just closed up shop entirely. That's something that I would like to see. Also, due to that ballot measure that I mentioned earlier about the Republicans not being able to walk out, I would really like to see term limits for state representatives and even congressmen and women from Oregon. When Republicans can't walk, but Democrats can stay there for 30 years and draw their own maps for the districts that they represent, I think it's incredibly unfair. Term limits, I think there's a reason they weren't in the Constitution. But that being said, I think it's just a means to an end, and it's the only way that we can really fight back even a little bit and create some sort of turnover on the Democrat side so that we can get some fresh eyes and not, again, continue our slow decline and the slow suicide of the state of Oregon over the last 20 years.
All right, we're going to take a break. More with Alex Skarlatos when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock on tomorrow's program. Republican candidate for Congress Monique Despain will be on Inside Douglas County. And starting soon, right after Labor Day, our annual Back to School series. We've got a couple weeks of programs talking to area school district superintendents as the school year gets underway. Alex Skarlatos with us, running for state representative in the 4th District. As you look at the Oregon State Legislature, one of the things that has been a question for a while is the role of legislators being part-time legislators. It's been set up that way for a very long time, but a lot of folks say that's precluded some people from actually being able to run for it because it's hard for folks to juggle trying to make other income and be a state representative or senator. Have you had any thoughts about whether the legislative job, should that become a full-time, higher-paying position?
To be honest, I don't think it should. it just gives more opportunity for government to come up with more terrible ideas for how to regulate our everyday lives. Not to mention, I think being part-time forces a lot of state reps, and frankly, being a lower paying forces a lot of state reps to have another source of income, which I think keeps people grounded in what actually happens on the everyday side of how people live their lives. You know, if you have a regular job, you're seeing what inflation is doing to people. You're interacting with regular people every day and talking to them about the issues that are affecting their lives. And if they know that you're a state rep, they're probably going to let you hear about their problems. So I think it's honestly a great thing. I don't want to see us go to a full-time legislature. I mean, you look at states that have done that, like California, for instance, and they certainly don't seem better off for it.
But for some folks that have been interested in politics, and this really comes from both sides of the aisle, depending on the type of job you have, to go to your employer and say, I'm going to be mostly gone for 6 months, doesn't always work out.
No, absolutely it does not. And I understand why that's an impediment to some people. But if that's the angle that you want to take, okay, maybe give the state legislatures a raise, but I do not want to see them go be in Salem full-time, absolutely disconnected from their communities. Again, we see that with congressmen and women all the time. They, especially from the West Coast, you know, it's such a flight to get to and from the East Coast that they end up just living in D.C., and since it's a full-time job, they're almost never in their districts and just rapidly become disconnected from the issues that their district's facing and then are worse representatives because of it. So I don't want to see us follow that same path in the state legislature.
Now, with the Republicans having a substantial turnover in the Senate due to the WAC issue, there's going to be a lot of new folks in Salem this year. Do you think that gives you a better opportunity if you're elected as a freshman lawmaker to make a difference early on versus having a number of folks that are more entrenched in what's going on?
Yes, I think it does. But frankly, it's not as big of an issue for the state house. That mostly affects the state senators since they were the ones that walked. I'm absolutely going to be as aggressive as possible and try to get as much done for my district the second I get there. And we already talked about how I'm kind of working with a lot of the state reps and state senators to do that. But I just want to bring up again that it's just incredibly unfair that the Democrats were able to get that ballot measure passed, and now you're basically kneecapping the Republican competition by having a high turnover rate when we're already in the minority and potentially the super minority. And you already just talked about how difficult it is to find good state reps that are willing to run and represent, considering it's part-time and low-paying.
Now, you mentioned earlier we were talking about the business community in Oregon. How do you feel like, what do you feel should be done to make Oregon a more business-friendly state, and what's the state government role in that?
Just fewer taxes and regulations. You know, they're talking about another sales tax for over $25 million. They already passed the CAT tax, which is killing a lot of thin margin businesses, which keep in mind are mostly rural businesses, you know, timber, agriculture, things like that, anything with high volume, high gross, but low net income. The CAT tax is killing them, and now they want to basically do another CAT tax for over $25 million. I mean, it's absolutely insane. And what really makes me angry about those taxes in particular is they do target rural communities more than people that live in cities. Those are the ones that, again, are in agriculture and timber business. Those are the ones that are being punished. So it's really a way for Democrats to disproportionately tax their political opposition, or at least people that live in rural areas that aren't as likely to vote for them. So I think it's terrible. And I think those are what we need to move the ball on the most in the state legislature, if we're able.
I don't have the figures right in front of me, but I know there's been a lot of criticism about Oregon's estate taxes, death taxes, et cetera. And given, for instance, real estate valuations going up a lot in the past, you know, decade or so, that's been a concern. Do you feel like that needs to be looked at and adjusted?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't believe in a death tax at all. I mean, the fact that the government can tax you every step on the way, your income, you know, when you spend money on the CAT tax. I mean, they tax you every step of the way. And then when you die, you can't even pass your assets to your children without being taxed again if it's over a certain amount in particular. So I think it's terrible. I'm anti-tax. I'm anti-government. I'm anti-regulation. But taxing people after they die is just patently absurd.
You've talked a lot in past campaigns about federal forest management. What about the state level? What should the legislature be doing to work not only with its own lands, but also work to make the federal level, or seek to get the federal level to make some changes?
It's pretty hard to apply pressure on the federal level. As a state representative, obviously I'm going to do that wherever possible, but that's going to be in particular the job of our now two Republican congressmen and women, Lori Chavez-DeRemer and Cliff Bentz. Hopefully they can affect some change on that. But in particular, the Elliott State Forest, I would like to see managed better. The state does have some lands that need to be managed better, and that's obviously an issue that's pretty close to my heart. And I've been vocal on that from, you know, pretty much my first day of running for County Commissioner of Douglas County back in 2018.
So as you've gone through the election cycle so far, what have you been hearing from people in the 4th District about what some of their big issues are and what they'd like to see addressed by lawmakers?
Well, what I mentioned already, tax regulation, it's not so much a state level, but again, the inflation is killing everyone right now. The inflation and interest rates, I mean, it's like you mentioned, the price of housing has gone up so dramatically. I think that's terrible. We need to do whatever we can. It's on the state level to slow the rate of inflation. It's mostly a federal problem. But I mean, it's absolutely destroying people. It's a hidden tax. And like we mentioned, we're taxed every step of the way. We're taxed when we die. And then we have a hidden tax and inflation that's just eating away at anything you save. And right now, I think the Americans have the lowest savings accounts on average in history. Credit card debt is at its highest point in history, and we should be encouraging people to save their money. And instead, if you put your money in your bank account, you're losing, you know, 5 to 7% every year just through inflation. I mean, it's terrible.
And if people want to get connected with you as the campaign season kicks off, how's the best way to do that?
Well, we're on Facebook. AlecForOregon.com is the website if you want to check us out there. I know I've got a lot of supporters in Douglas County, so thanks so much for all the help over the years, and thanks so much for having me on again.
Alec Skarlatos on Inside Douglas County, 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.